Hello and welcome to Blickwechsel, the VIDC podcast for a different view of the world. My name is Sibylle Straubinger. I'm the Executive Director of the Vienna Institute for International Dialogue and Cooperation, VIDC. Once a month, this podcast is about an internationally relevant topic. Today we talk once again about the situation of women in Afghanistan. On the one hand, because of the situation of women is in danger of being forgotten, but especially because we as VIDC have dealt intensively with the issue of gender apartheid, on which we also have written a policy brief recently. I'm very happy about my guest for this topic, Tamina Salik. She is not only a dedicated advocate for positive social change and empowerment, but she's also part of the global campaign against gender apartheid in Afghanistan. Welcome, Tamina. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tamina, you were born in Kabul, Afghanistan, but you grew up in Denmark, where you went to school and to university. With a master's degree in international relations from the University of Southern Denmark, you bring both academic expertise and real-world experience to your work. Your personal journey as a refugee to Denmark has shaped your passion for supporting vulnerable communities and individuals. You advocate for women's rights and support protest movements in Afghanistan very intensively. You're very engaged with your country of birth. So what keeps you going and so strongly committed to the suffering of Afghan women and girls?
That's such a good question. Exactly, I think, because as someone who was born in Kabul and then raised in Denmark, I have always had both countries in my heart and kind of have had a guilt of maybe survival in being the one who made it while so many others didn't. And that kind of became also my drive from a very, very early, actually young age, even before the takeover. I was very much committed to connect my two worlds, which is Afghanistan and Denmark. And specifically now, especially because women in Afghanistan are silenced and I have a voice. So I would like to not waste that opportunity and echo the voices of those whose voice has been taken from them.
Mm-hmm. So for those who are not familiar with the current situation in Afghanistan, can you please give a brief overview how the situation of women has developed since the Taliban took over power and how it is at the moment?
The situation of women is unbearable, and they are systematically being erased from public sphere. They are banned from going to school. They're banned from taking from workspaces, from politics. Women in Afghanistan even are not allowed to travel without a man in the family, or actually even get outside of the house without a man, which should be their husband or brother or father figure. Their voices have been forbidden. Women are not allowed to be heard in the society. The latest law says that from now on, when there will be built homes and houses in Afghanistan, they should not have windows in the kitchens to prevent others passing by being able to see inside. And the existing houses should color the windows dark. So it's a very systematic erasure of women from all sectors of society, and only limiting them to give birth to children and cook in the kitchens. That is what they have been isolated to, yeah. Unfortunately.
It seems that there's no end on measures from the Taliban that restrict women in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
So what challenges do Afghan women currently face in Afghanistan that the international community maybe overlooks or misunderstands?
I think the focus has been so much on education, which is, of course, very important, and the schools should be open. But the everyday humiliation of women that they're experiencing in the home country, that has been overlooked. The fact that women in Afghanistan feel like they're in prison in their own country is something that has been overlooked. It's for them, when I speak with them, they feel a loss of their dignity, their identity. They have been truly stripped off their identity and reduced to nothing, to be honest. And the fact that even the right to be able to dream and to have hopes and ambitions have been taken away from girls in Afghanistan. That is something that should make us so outraged. It should make us do everything that we can to stop this horror which is happening in Afghanistan. However, I feel like the atmosphere, the talks, the dialogues, the conversation is very politically correct. The world does not want to make the Taliban angry, to be honest. They want to balance it all and still normalize the situation to some degree in Afghanistan. We are living in 2024, while the rest of the world, we are talking about artificial intelligence. Elon Musk is talking about traveling to, I don't know, other planets. Women of Afghanistan is still trying to just have the right to be accepted as a human being. That is overlooked. The intensity of the situation is truly overlooked by the international society.
Yeah, it's so terrible what Afghan women have to suffer. It also makes me really angry because that it's even possible that men decide over women's lives. And it's so depressing, yes. And it must be very depressing for you and for any Afghan activists who are working and try to improve situation and try to show the world what's going on. So in your work as an activist and supporting also women inside Afghanistan, are there also moments of hope and resilience that maybe inspire you to continue?
Oh, definitely. As you mentioned so well, it is very depressing. It is very difficult to keep on fighting for the right of women while the world, in a way, would just prefer forgetting them. It is very depressing to hear every day, every week, stories from Afghanistan where women, some of them are giving up. They're committing suicide. They're burning themselves instead of being forcibly married to a Taliban. But the fact that we still keep on going, both women inside Afghanistan, but also outside Afghanistan, is because of these moments of hope and resilience. It is that each time when I see a woman from Afghanistan write about the situation, raise her voice about the situation, or just show up in a WhatsApp group and be there, it is giving me hope that in spite of all the hardships, they keep on, they insist on being heard, they insist on being seen, and they're not giving up. And also specifically, to give a concrete example, when ICC and ICJ, International Criminal Court, for instance, ICC, came with requests for arrest warrant of two Taliban leaders, that I see as a success for the women of Afghanistan. It is because of their voices that now the International Criminal Court actually acts upon it. Or when ICJ is taking Afghanistan because of not living up to the CEDAW Convention, it is an achievement for the women of Afghanistan. So I do see these glimpse of hope, and I do see that we are the Taliban will not change, but the fact that we are changing the world around them and mobilizing forces against them, that is achievement, and that is hope that I see, and that keeps us going on, all of us.
So as an Afghan women rights activist, you have participated in several networking events on the situation of women in Afghanistan, for example, last September in Albania, in December in Spain, and also in Vienna at the VIDC. Mm-hmm. And these conferences were all organized by Afghan women from the diaspora. So what do the women hope to gain from these conferences? How can international commitments support Afghan women and ensure their inclusion and protection in political processes beyond any symbolic gestures?
Yeah, so women of Afghanistan, to be honest, are very much done with being symbolic. They don't want just seats on the tables. They actually want to shape the tables, to influence decisions that define their lives. And like conferences like Albania and Madrid, where it was lit by the women of Afghanistan, was a very good example of it, to show that they're not only victims, but they can be partners, and they can actually, in spite of all the differences, because in that those two conferences, as you mentioned, there were women from all different sectors of society, ethnicity. They were a very mixed group of former politicians, women rights activists, filmmakers. They were a very, very journalists. And there were, of course, very hot discussions as well, and also points that disagreed. But in spite of all that, they actually, at the end, we did came with a declaration of 12 points, which women showed that we agree upon such things. They found their common ground, which is a success. And they show us that we can be political leaders. And basically, what they want is real commitment from the international society, not just statements of support, but concrete actions. They want protection, legal, political, and physical, and resources to sustain their activism, their communities, and their survival. So what we actually want is saying nothing about us without us. That is kind of the message that I hope the international society takes seriously, include women in every decision and conversation about future of Afghanistan and Afghanistan.
So, and in March 2023, a group of Afghan and also Iranian women launched the End Gender Apartheid campaign, which advocates for the recognition of gender apartheid as a crime against humanity under international law. As I said before, we have recently published a policy brief to inform about the concept of gender apartheid and related objectives. But apartheid is so far known as the political system of racial segregation, mainly in South Africa. Can you explain to our listeners how this term gender apartheid came about and what it means exactly?
Yeah. So gender apartheid is not just a metaphor. It's a lived reality for women of Afghanistan. And also, as you mentioned, women in Iran are experiencing it also to some degrees. And therefore, there has been also joint efforts by these two communities to make gender apartheid as a crime against humanity. And apartheid is a system of enforced segregation where one group is structurally and deliberately excluding or excluded from public, political, and social life based on identity. As you mentioned, in South Africa, it was race. In Afghanistan, it's gender. And it's actually very important that it should be named as it is, because it's not just wrong. It should be shown that it's illegal. It's illegal that a government systematically tries to erase someone, in this case of Afghanistan, based on gender, which are women, from education, from political, public, and society, just not because of something they have done wrong, but just and only because they're women. So getting it recognized as a crime against humanity would be a big achievement, not only in the situation of Afghanistan, which will give women of Afghanistan one more tool to take Taliban to the international courts, but also for the future of humanity, to be very honest, because we should prevent this from happening anywhere else. It cannot, when we cannot believe that Taliban will be the only one enforcing gender apartheid. It might rise from other parts of the world, which are actually happening in smaller doses, if we have to say, in other countries as well. So yeah, it should be illegal and it should be called as it is. Naming things is actually for what it is one step toward justice. And we will continue till we actually get gender apartheid recognized as a crime against humanity.
So you already talked about what you want to achieve by codifying gender apartheid in international law. And how do you see its impact in Afghanistan or internationally? What types of supports have the campaigners achieved so far?
Actually, the campaign has gained a lot of success. When we first started using the term gender apartheid, it was unknown for the world. It is actually, however, important to say that gender apartheid was already, we already started this campaign, but not in this same force, even under the first round of Taliban. When they first came in power, the women of Afghanistan started talking about gender apartheid that was happening inside Afghanistan. But now, second time around, it seems for so many NGOs and the political actors so impossible that this is not going to happen, gender apartheid, oh, this is a long... But today, they're actually joining us. It was last year in 2024, I believe October, that the European Parliament came with a statement and recognized gender apartheid as a crime, which is a huge achievement. Mm-hmm. I actually, myself and a group of other women rights activists, we were in the European Parliament 2 days prior to the statement where we advocated for getting gender apartheid recognized. And then they came with that statement. So it is not a small step. Or the UN Special Rapporteur, Mr. Richard Bennett, whom I respect dearly, also has mentioned gender apartheid. And we see more people. Amnesty International is a actually big supporter. So now it used to seem so impossible. Now it is only a matter of time that you'll actually get it codified as in the international law. And also in Afghanistan, women are advocating for getting it codified and supporting this campaign. And of course, they are the ones, they are the victims of gender apartheid. And each time we hear other entities and NGOs mentioning it and naming it for what it is, it's an achievement and mm-hmm. something, a moral support also to keep on and for the women of Afghanistan as well.
Yeah. Can you tell me maybe what the next steps are and maybe also what Austria or Austrian people or people who want to support the campaign can contribute in any way? Is there something we can do? Is there something the country can do? Where are the next steps at the UN level or... Yes, what's going on?
I think next? The next step is now that the European Parliament came with and recognized that now it's for other nations like Austria to amplify those voices, to make your governments also recognize gender apartheid, to echo our voices. Amplifying the voices of women of Afghanistan this is what we need right now, because also not only women are being erased inside Afghanistan, but the whole discussion of women of Afghanistan are also in a high level being ignored and erased from the tables among all the crises that are happening in the world. It seems like the situation of women of Afghanistan is being truly not prioritized. So amplifying our voices, sharing the news, helping us in codifying gender apartheid by pushing your own government to actually come with statement and recognize it, mm-hmm. that would be support. And supporting in Austria, there must be so many good diaspora organizations. The Afghan diaspora is actually a very active diaspora, I would see. And also the new ones who have the new diaspora, or they call themselves in exile. They still, of course, hope to go back to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So those communities connect with them, support them. They are fighting. They are doing, I know there's happening a lot of good events in Austria. Join it, attend it, share the news, volunteer there where you can. Any small step, regardless how much, even if it's sometimes just liking a post about Afghanistan in social media, impacts. Together is what we will be like, making an impact, and we will be stronger.
Yeah, we will be on your side. So on the end of this podcast, and to end on a hopeful note, I would like to ask you what gives you hope for the future of Afghan women. Do you see any signs that the Taliban's grip might loosen soon?
Yeah, I don't know what soon is, but definitely Taliban are not the future of Afghanistan, and the strong spirit of the women of Afghanistan will not let that happen. And that is something Taliban are afraid of. The fact that they're trying to silence the women, that means that they believe in our strength. So mm-hmm. that itself is a good evidence that they are not gonna, and we are not stopping. Women of Afghanistan maybe have been banned to come out on the streets and protest, but they're finding other ways to raise their voice. For example, I don't know if you have noticed, but there's this red lipstick campaign right now going on, whereby trying to put a red lipstick on, they're saying, I'm here, I'm still gonna raise my voice, because even makeup is forbidden in Afghanistan, I have to say. However, the red lipstick has a history in the struggle of women, and even under the Second World War and before that. And now women of Afghanistan are joining that struggle, and by a symbol, trying to say, we're still here. So any way that they can, they keep on. And that is the hope, because they're not stopping. And the solidarity that I experienced, not always from our politicians, but from the civil society outside Afghanistan, is what's giving me hope. And last but not least, the history of Afghanistan shows that no regime has actually survived, which can be discussed if it's a good thing or bad thing. But in this situation, yeah. Taliban also has an expiry date. It's just a matter of time when we will celebrate, yeah, the freedom again.
That's hopeful. It's always very moving for me to talk about the situation of Afghan women and also to talk with Afghan activists as you, who are so tireless in their struggle. And thank you very much, Tamina, for your time and for all the insights you gave us.
Thank you. Thank you and VIDC for always amplifying the voices of Afghan women.
So. You're very welcome. Thanks. So this was the VIDC podcast on the situation of Afghan women and about the struggle to recognize gender apartheid as a crime against humanity. Thanks for listening. Have a nice day, and I hope you will be back for the next Blickwechsel next month.